Food Today, science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council. The concept of food and addiction has gained a lot of interest, not only by the media, but also within the scientific community. We interviewed Professor Julian Mercer, head of the Obesity and Metabolic Health Programme of the Rowett Research Institute, which is part of the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. He's also a partner in the EU-funded project Neurofast, looking into the neurobiological and socio-psychological causes of overeating and substance abuse disorders. We asked Julian, can someone really be addicted to food? What does the science tell us?
It's undoubtedly the case that some people have a relationship with food which does have some of the kind of characteristics of an addiction. But it would be easy for members of the public to assume that any small weight problem they had meant that they themselves might be a food addict, and that's almost certainly not the case. The other key issue is that addiction, by its terminology, suggests that people might be addicted to a specific substance. Obviously, the key difference is that you do actually have to eat food to continue living, whereas substances of abuse and alcohol, for example, aren't an essential part of your everyday life. And there's no strong evidence that any individual component of the diet in itself is addictive. We can't really make a direct comparison. Substance abuse disorders are classified as mental disorders according to the kind of international classifications. And that also suggests that to consider food in that context is probably inappropriate. Perhaps considering it more in terms of a behavioural type disorder and the way they consume food, rather than a strictly chemical addiction, might be more relevant to those people who have issues there. And at the moment, a diagnosis of food addiction is inappropriate for most people.
Can you summarise the research behind the theory of food addiction?
There is a body of work on laboratory animals which tends to be studying individual food components such as sugars, and there is some evidence there that there may be consequences of consuming those things like sugar under particular dietary regimes that will then affect the way the brain responds to that stimulus. So we can say that the brain probably responds to some dietary components in much the same way that it actually responds to drugs of abuse. But that's because we've evolved to find consuming particular dietary components rewarding. That probably defines why we find particular foods palatable and why we find them rewarding. So those systems are there from an evolutionary kind of history, and what's now happening is that the drugs of abuse are effectively hijacking those systems and providing a super stimulus through similar pathways. But it's very difficult to translate what the rodent does directly into the human context, because the rodent doesn't have control over its environment in the same way that we do.
Earlier, you told us that a behavioural type disorder might be more relevant for certain people. Can you explain further?
In the Western world, if we have more than 50% of the population either overweight or obese, you know, if you read the newspapers, you could easily come to the assumption that food addiction might be a partial explanation for this. But in reality, most people put on weight gradually over years or decades. And that's just really down to the thermodynamics of the fact that they're consuming slightly more energy than they're expending. So they're in slight positive energy balance over a long period of time. However, there are people who have much more of a a psychiatric sort of issue that surrounds food, who have particular behaviours and eating disorders around food. And binge eating disorder is an area where we think that some sort of diagnosis of food addiction might be kind of relevant to those people, but that's a small proportion of the population. It's not even a big proportion necessarily of the obese or overweight population.
What further research is needed to clarify our understanding around food and addiction?
If we want to move away from food addiction and start saying perhaps that what we have here is an eating addiction or an eating related disorder, we need to understand much more about what the characteristics of that are. So we need to be really examining the people who we think fit into that category to see, you know, what it is about the way they interact with food at a sort of psychological or physiological and emotional level. At the moment, the only behavioural addiction which is recognised is compulsive gambling. But now that behavioural addictions have been recognised, it might be that in the future some food-related disorder or addiction or eating-related disorder or addiction could potentially be diagnosable, and we really need to understand more about who that applies to, what their characteristics are, for example, and what sorts of interventions we might be able to have available to help those people overcome these problems.
Food Today, science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council.